The Spirit of God is at work in you to lift you up so that you can sing with that sense of joy, that sense of energy in your life. Every moment is a creative moment. Every moment that Spirit of God, which is a creative energy, is in you, ready to work in you to bring forth new expressions of the divine, new expressions of blessings right in the midst of your life. This past Monday, I was out at Kitchen Creek Falls out in the East County, and we were by the falls, and I saw this succulent plant growing out of the rocks. And I thought, that's life. That's that life of God that wants to express, no matter what our circumstances, we may look at life and say, it's hard. Well, that rock is pretty hard. But out of that rock is growing life, because life is stirring in everything to bring forth its blessings to us and through us and for us. We've been looking at prosperity from a couple different directions the last few weeks, and to recognize that when we think about prosperity, it's more than just money, more than just stuff. It's really about living a life that's fulfilling for ourselves, living a life that we feel interested in, and more than that, that we feel excited about, that we feel joyous about, that we feel grateful for. And to do that, there's some steps that we've looked at, some aspects of it we've looked at. We've looked at tithing as a way of being conscious of our connection. We've looked at forgiving. We've looked at goals last week. This week, we'll look at purpose. And if we think about it this way, that tithing is about our relationship to God, to saying to ourselves, I'm conscious of my connection to God. Of all the things that I've received, I know that God is my source. I'm going to give a portion back in acknowledgement of that. Forgiveness is about our relationship with people. If there's stuff between us and our experience with others, don't we want to let go of that so that we can live in a different way? Doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to live with them, that person, but we can forgive them so that we're not carrying their stuff around with us to let it go. Goals are about our relationship with our activities. What are we doing? Are we doing things that are important to us? Are we doing things that make a difference for us? And purpose is about our relationship with our own life and that life of God. Again, what are we doing? What is making a difference for us and for others? And to have a sense of joy and energy and gratitude and passion about that as we figure out what we're going to do with the rest of our life. And whether we're 8 or 88, it doesn't matter. If we're still here on the planet, there's something for us to do. And so to find a way to connect with that consciously, to see what Spirit has for us. The scripture that we have today is when Paul, who was Saul, going around killing Christians, later on is on trial for something else, and he's talking about his story that he had and his experience of Jesus. Now, he had never met Jesus while Jesus was alive in the physical form. He'd only heard about Christians, and as a devout Jew, his early part of his career was going around rounding up the Christians and getting rid of them. But as he was on his way to Damascus, he had an experience of that light of God that knocked him down, blinded him for a while, and he heard the voice of the Christ speaking to him, and it said, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you." And to me, this scripture is so powerful. As he's telling the story, he's recognizing that the movement in his own life, the change that he's made as his purpose went at one point from trying to get rid of Christians to trying to create more of them. That's a big shift in there. And I love this place where the Christ says to him, "There's things that I will yet reveal to you." Because so many times, I know if you're like me at all, I want to have the answers all ahead of time. I want to know how it's all going to work out, who's going to be there, you know, what's going to make it work ahead of time. And Spirit says, "Don't worry, it'll all work out." Trusting that Spirit to lead us in a way. So I want us to think about this is what Spirit is saying to each of us, that there's things that I've revealed to you, but there's more I'm going to reveal to you, and I want you to rise up, to stand, to be a witness to those things, to be a minister to those things, and to live them out. And so my lesson today is called Passion for Your Purpose, because I would invite you to find a way to be so excited about your life that when you wake up in the morning, you go, "Oh, good, I get another day." You know, a phrase instead of, oh God, it's morning. It's morning, oh God. And rising up with that sense of energy, that sense of purpose, that you have some energy about, some joy of blessing. So think about it this way, that you are God's gift to life. God created you on purpose. You're not an accident, no matter what your parents may have said. You are not an accident. God made you on purpose. And as they used to say back in the 60s and 70s, God, don't make junk. So you are made in the image and likeness of the divine on purpose. You are a gift to life. And as you learn to give it joyously, give yourself as a gift to life joyously, you'll find that energy working in you in a wondrous and powerful way. So here's our affirmation today. I am bold in God's calling. Say that with me, please. I am bold in God's calling. And again, like you really mean it. I am bold in God's calling. So bold is what we're going to look at today, bold. The B in bold stands for behold. Behold the revelation. When I was doing some research in the past couple weeks about Gandhi for an earlier lesson, I found a story in there about Martin Luther King Jr. when he'd gone to India to find out more about what Gandhi was doing and his nonviolent opposition to civil rights oppression. And one of the principles that Gandhi taught was that spiritual power is greater than physical power. And Gandhi based a lot of that on the teachings of Jesus. And it was interesting for Martin Luther King Jr. as a Baptist minister to learn about Jesus from a Hindu. And he began to recognize that the things that Jesus taught were not just about personal life, but were about our corporate life, our civil life as well. That these principles apply to every part of life. And one of the principles is that not to oppose your enemy, but to love your enemy, to bless your enemy. And one person has reinterpreted that. This is because it drives them crazy. It confuses them. And so we recognize that we have this gift of spiritual principles that's meant to be used in our lives. And so Martin Luther King Jr. rededicated himself. In fact, part of his reason for going there was to decide whether he really wanted to take on the mantle of leadership for the civil rights movement in the United States. And he said that spiritual experience of rededicating himself gave him the conviction that, yes, not only was he meant to do it, that there was nothing else that he could do except to live that out. And he came back with that energy. And we all know the difference that he made and the inspiration for so many others for the difference that they could make in the world as well. So that's when we get that revelation, when we get that understanding, there's something that we know. We just know what it's going to be about. It's going to work. And what that means is we may have had an idea about what our life is about. And as we open to that revelation of God, that will change. When I was in high school, that's my first guitar. I got it for Christmas. At Christmas, playing my guitar. I wanted to be a rock and roll star. Don't I look like one? But the guidance that came to me was that I got to be a minister. And what I have found, Ellen, our office manager, gets this sometimes with some of the publications that we put out, like our letterhead and our newsletter, where I'll have my name, Blair Tabor, comma, minister. And they said, well, minister should be capitalized. And she says, no, Blair won't let me. Because to me, the word minister is much more powerful as a verb than it is as a noun. And what does the word mean? It means to serve. And to recognize that when we get over a title and get into action, when we get over into some kind of recognition that somebody is supposed to give us so that we can feel better, to recognize that we already know who we are and we need to be about it, when we have that clarity about ourselves, there's a joy and an energy and a passion that sustains us and moves us forward and is always there to reveal what's next in that process. And so I invite each of you to think of yourself as a minister for whatever it is that you're doing. If you're in sales, you're a minister of helping people get what it is that's going to make their lives more supported. If you're a teacher, you're a minister of helping people discover not just facts about, you know, the exports of Peru, but to be excited about learning and how that learning can be applied to life. If you're someone who cleans up after others, then you've got a ministry of cleaning up after others who aren't doing what they should need to be doing. And so whatever it is, if we think of it as being a ministry, there's something that happens in us where we see what we are and what we're doing and the people that we're doing it with or for or whatever in a different way. And we recognize that we are there because we are God's gift in the world, bringing forth the blessings right where we are. And so people say, well, what is my purpose? And again, you don't need to figure it all out at once. God says, I'll give it to you partly now and partly later, and it'll be revealed as we go along. But here's some ways to embrace it. One way would be to ask yourself, in your life, what brings you the most joy? That could be related to your purpose. Or another way, what bugs you the most in life? And maybe within that is an opportunity for you to discover a purpose of what you can bring to change things in the world. What has been your most joyous day? What has been your most joyous accomplishment? That may lead you to understand your purpose in a greater way. Or even, what has been your most difficult day or your most difficult accomplishment? That may lead you to see a new stirring of understanding of what your purpose is in life. As our board has been working this past year, well, the key here is to ask for guidance. Ask for guidance in this process. As our board has been looking at our process of who we are as a church and what we're doing, we've restated our vision and mission statements this way. Unity San Diego empowers people to live transformative lives through increased self-awareness and God awareness in order to expand spiritual consciousness in the world. So we're here to help you, to help people have more of the sense of who you really are as an expression of God, not just so that you can have that awareness, so that you can bring a greater awareness, greater blessing to the whole planet as well. Our mission, Unity San Diego, supports people's spirituality and challenges them to grow in awareness, be love in action, and serve our community. It's interesting that the word in Greek that gets translated into English as church is ecclesia, means the called out ones. So what the church is about is not a building. It's about a process of seeing ourselves as being called out and calling out that presence of God, calling out that kingdom and expression in our lives in a greater way. That's the revelation that works in and through our lives. Now, it's interesting, as we begin to get clearer on our purpose and begin to articulate it for ourselves and others and begin to live it, there are going to be people who around us who won't be supportive of that, who won't encourage that. I remember one time years ago, as I was getting ready for my first week-long backpacking trip, I was actually leaving Sunday afternoon to join my sister and her husband and family up in Fresno, up the mountains there. And so part of my preparation was not only packing all my gear so that it was in the car ready to go after service, but I also got a severe haircut because I didn't want to deal with hair. And it was interesting, at that service, a lady came up to me and she says, I don't like the refugee look. And I thought, well, I think, I didn't say it out loud in my mind, I said, I think that's more about her than about me. Because I had a purpose for why I cut my hair shorter. You know, but obviously there was something in her that was stored. And so whenever we get clear and we're doing what we're supposed to be, there are going to be people around us who don't seem to have a clue, who aren't in alignment with us. Just bless them. Just bless them and do what it is that you know that Spirit is inviting you to do to work in your life. And to recognize that as you look to find your purpose, that each moment has a purpose. Each day has a purpose. You can look at, what's my purpose for this week? What's my purpose for the rest of the month, for the rest of the year? What's my purpose for this decade? What's the purpose for the rest of my life? And we'd even say, what's the purpose for my legacy beyond this physical lifetime? And to recognize that each one of those is going to help us see what's important, what we need to be doing in a different way. It's like a different filter for our consciousness, for our understanding, a different way to quicken some new understanding, some new revelation about what our purpose is. And as you're open to that, it'll keep unfolding. And that's what the O in bold stands for, to be open in each moment to what your purpose is. When I was working with the teens years ago in the West Central region, and I would train them for leadership in the activities, I would train them about doing an opening prayer. And I said, every activity needs to have an opening prayer because you want to set an intention. You want to send a consciousness for what that's going to be about. And so think about, what do you want to have happen for this activity? What's the purpose of this activity? And declare it. Declare it in your prayer. That's what it's about, for you to speak out loud what it is that you want to see God doing in this experience among the people that are there. And so we can have this sense as we begin, whatever it is, that I know what my purpose is here. But to also be open, because God may have something larger for us in that process, to see something greater in life. Another one of the Andy Rooney-isms that someone shared with me. He says, I've learned that opportunities are never lost. Someone will take the ones that you miss. And it means that we're going to miss sometimes seeing what's there, but as we remain open, we'll see more and more and more. And to recognize that in each moment we are called to be present as a blessing. And as we're aware of that, then we're anointed by Spirit to be that blessing in that moment. As we bring that awareness of a sense of purpose, even if we're not sure yet and we're still asking God, what do you want me to be doing here? That anointing will happen, that blessing will happen in life, and it will work for us. One of the people who continues to bless me is a former organist and music director of ours, Robert Plimpton. Many of you remember him when he was our music director. And his time here, because he grew up in the traditional church, was involved with the Presbyterians, Methodists, his time here gave him a different perspective on what Christianity is about, the sort of the mystical or the, you know, the more open part of that. And he's been bringing that to the traditional church for years. But also he uses it in his personal life as well. I got an email from him 2 days ago. His mom has been ill, and he says she's shutting down, not eating or drinking. They put her in hospice care. My sister-in-law says that hospice predicts she'll pass within the weekend, so this weekend they're expecting her to pass. Here's what he writes. It will be a peaceful homegoing for her. A peaceful homegoing for her, something she has desired for some time. So I wrote back a prayer of support for him and for the family. And he says, thank you, Blair. This is a precious and joyous time. And so we recognize that as we face the death of our parents, our pets, you know, whatever it is, whoever it is, that we can get so caught up in the loss that we forget to see that there's something larger at work in our life. And so we have to be continually open to that revelation of Spirit working in us in a greater way in our lives, to continue to ask for that in life. And then that leads us to the L in bold, which is to lightly frame our work. Because we may get a clear sense of purpose and may be about it and be so busy with it that we forget, again, that Spirit is moving us in a different direction. In Lessons in Truth, Emily Cady talks about spiritual gifts and how sometimes those gifts change. Sometimes we have a gift that we've been using and all of a sudden it's not working. And we're troubled, and we keep trying to make it work. And I see this with people who are healers, who are spiritual healers, where they have amazing powers, amazing gifts, and are able to heal people or help people heal themselves, you know, because as Jesus said, it's your faith that makes you well. But then that gift begins to shift, and they start to fake it. And I don't know if you've ever heard this, there was one man who had a wonderful gift of perception, and he could look at someone and Spirit would give him the gift of knowing what it was that was in them that they could release or change so that they could be healed, whether it was a physical healing or emotional healing. He had a wonderful gift of intuition. Well, that gift went away, And what he did is they would have, when they had their gatherings, and again, thousands of people would come, they would have people put prayer request cards in as they came in, put their name, their address, and what their prayer request was. And then as the meeting would start, his wife would go pull them out of the box, and he would have an earpiece in his ear where she could, with a wireless system, talk to him and said, okay, it's Jane from Wisconsin, and she has cancer in her liver. And so he'd go, there's someone here named Jane from Wisconsin who has cancer in her liver. And so it's like, oh, wow, you know, it was amazing. So he was at one point, he had the gift where he would know that. The Spirit would give him that. But it had changed, so he was faking it. And eventually, someone was on the same frequency as his wireless system, and they figured out and revealed what had happened. And so it's important for us, again, to whatever it is that we're doing, to carry it with a sense of lightness, that God may take that off of us and give us something else to do. And to have the sense that it's not our purpose, but it's God's purpose for us that may change at some time. I don't know if any of you read in the paper yesterday, there was a woman who was an executive for Rubio's, who was involved in a wonderful organization called Team and Training. My daughter ran several marathons for them to raise money for the Lymphoma Society. Well, this woman had been at one of their kickoff training things and was on her way home driving up 163 at 85 miles an hour and ran into the back of a truck and was killed. So as I was reading that, I was going, "What? Well, I mean, she's got so many wonderful purposes in life. You know, a mother of two. You know, involved in this wonderful organization, you know, involved as an executive of Rubio's, all these wonderful things, and she's driving at 85 miles an hour. Somehow she had gotten wrapped up in some purpose, some idea that didn't serve her very well. And so we have to recognize, we have to continually be asking for guidance in this process. What is mine to do in this moment? I don't think God's going to tell us to drive 85 miles an hour on the freeway. And so for us to be clear. The other part of that, maybe she was late for something, and I've always found if I'm driving somewhere and I'm late for something, I stop and pray and then drive. And what I find is that usually the person that I'm supposed to meet is running late too. So it's not as big a deal as I was making it in my mind. So we need to treat this purpose lightly as well. The D in bold stands for dare to do it. Our scripture says to be a witness for what has been revealed to us and to be a witness for what is yet to be revealed to us. We don't know yet, but we know that we will know. We know that it will be revealed to us. We know that it will be given to us. We're called to be a witness to it, a minister of it, to serve it, to bring it to life in a way of serving. The sign in American Sign Language for zeal, which is another word for enthusiasm, is. So what if we had that sense? Again, we say it sometimes, oh, I have to go to work today. Again, we can change it to, I get to go to work today. I have to go visit my mother-in-law. I get to go visit my mother-in-law. When I was in college, I was in a band, and our guitarist, his mother was a healer. And one of the things that she taught us to do in preparation for healing was to rub our hands together, because it focuses our energy. It focuses our attention. It's like taking a holy breath. It focuses our attention. And so she said, rub your hands together and then, you know, do that. And so once you know that what that's about, then you don't need to rub your hands together, because you can generate that energy with your consciousness, with that sense of purpose, with that sense of passion for what it is that you are about. So again, I invite you to be taking time every day at the preparation for each experience to say, all right, God, what do you want to have happen here? What's my purpose that you have given me for this? And to recognize that as you lay hold of that and begin to express that, there will be the anointing of Spirit that will come on you. And just as the prophets of old, you will be able to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And you'll live with that sense of, ah, yeah, I get to clean up after the dog. Yay. Whatever it is, you'll have that sense of joy, that sense of energy. As you lay hold of that purpose in the moment, in the day, in the week, in the life, in the legacy, and you boldly give that gift of God that you are, you will find that your true purpose is in every moment to be an expression of God, to be the gift of the divine. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the deepening awareness of your presence within us and the deepening awareness of what you are calling us to be and to do and to share in each moment, in each experience, in each part of our lives. May we see that each moment is a calling to be your blessing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.